AOM is happening April 3rd and 4th. That's the annual orthopedic meeting from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapists. This is our big conference this year, focusing on head, spine, and shoulder disorders, integration over isolation. Check out more information at orthopt.org. This conference is for PTs, residents, fellows, PhD students, and yeah, DPT students who want to get a little ahead of the curve from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapists. Meeting will feature a great general session followed by breakout sessions each day, April 3rd and 4th. Interactive sessions, you're going to be hands-on, along with panel discussions to get some Q&A to end each day. Attendees will have opportunity to attend all breakout sessions this year at the annual orthopedic meeting April 3 and 4, Mall of America in Minneapolis, St. Paul, from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapists. Find out more information at orthopt.org.
I think we have to kind of keep in mind, if we don't do that well, the stakes are pretty high. Disablement for common musculoskeletal conditions is extremely high, both at the client's individual level and at societal level, and we see that. But boy, we've got to be good at that. And if we don't, we see the consequence of the disablement, and we see the suffering and the pain and the societal cost. So I think it's an excitement and it's a fun, but it's also a responsibility. So we have to kind of take that and say, okay, this is what we can do. This is our contribution to helping people move in the world.
Today we talked to Joe Godges. Joe going to be presenting at AOPTs, that's the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, their annual meeting, April 3rd and 4th in Minneapolis, Mall of America. There's a conference center at the Mall of America. They're not holding the conference in food court, okay? Just so we're clear. Really looking at this area, head, spine, and shoulder disorders, integration over isolation. You can find out more about the conference at orthopt.org. With Joe today, we're going to take a look at the macro view. Like, what's this meeting about, right? You know, what is it going to be able to transform you into? How's it going to help you improve as a physical therapist in the orthopedic world, as well as some of the fundamental things that physical therapists in general should be really, really good at in terms of clinical decision making, providing interventions for clients based on movement or pain relations. Joe's got a wealth of experience working with the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapists, was actually the editor for CPGs for more than 11 years. So killer insight, and we talked to Joe on today's episode, brought to you by our friends at Owens Recovery Science. They're a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it in clinical practice properly. Find information about BFR, blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, the research behind it, and where Johnny and his team are going to be next, making sure that you and the rest of the profession are getting the right information to put this into practice with your patients the right way. OwensRecoveryScience.com. That is OwensRecoveryScience.com. Go there now.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to say thank you again for subscribing to the show. Definitely that helps us out. Reviewing and liking on iTunes and kind of moving us up the charts there. But really, the biggest thing is taking a listen and having confidence to share what you've learned here in an episode on social media with your colleagues or, you know, maybe someone at the clinic or school you work at. So thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. Taking a look forward to the spring, the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy has their annual meeting in April, and we bring on Joe Godges, who's going to be speaking there. Joe, thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate talking to you.
Thanks for having me on. Happy to be here.
Southern California, kind of University of Southern California, so you can rub that in just a little bit. It's okay. The rest of the world can just be in awe of the weather you've got down there. Gorgeous, gorgeous country. You've been there for a while at USC, right?
Correct. Pushing 10 years. So
yeah.
Before that, also in Los Angeles with Kaiser Permanente for almost 20, and also partly with Loma Linda for part-time working with their program. So I've been here a while.
Also, in your background, I thought this was great. I wanted you to talk about just a little bit. From 2006 to 2017, you were the editor of the Clinical Practice Guidelines, the CPGs, for common musculoskeletal conditions for the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy and the Journal of Orthopedic and Sports Physical Therapy. You know, for such a long time, what great topics were the CPGs on when you were there during your tenure?
Oh, boy, we went through the body regions. And when I say we, I guess I have to really just compliment all the volunteers that worked to make that happen. And I was just, I was more of a herder, a leader, a supporter. And we went through and, you know, helped with identifying the experts in the area from around the world. And then those experts created their own teams for each body region and then picked the most common conditions that there was good evidence to help describe the practice, and then create a standard format following the Institute of Medicine's strategy for making clinical practice guidelines, which is, I'll have to say, is a huge amount of work. And they pulled it off, and I was just fortunate enough to be in the editor position and helping guide them. And I had consultants and mentors helping, you know, me work in that. And I have to also compliment the Academy for supporting it, and also the Journal of Orthopedic and Sports Physical Therapy for embracing that and getting that out to the whole world. And yeah, that's really been an exceptional positive thing for all rehabilitation practitioners.
Yeah, what I think a lot of people don't know, and we just had Rich Willey on, who was kind of in a position of hurting people. I kind of liked how you framed that. A massive team for patellofemoral pain. And what I think people a lot of times don't realize is CPGs, they're available to the profession at no cost. Finding those, they're out there.
Oh, it's huge. Oh, they're downloaded all over, and I can say worldwide. I just know that. Also being culturally adapted to help different countries, from Africa to China to the Philippines to Saudi Arabia. So, it's been a well-embraced, and yeah, the idea that they are freely available, and even implementation tools, certainly also available even on orthopt.org, just implementation tools related to decision-making trees and patient perspectives and clinical perspectives. So it's kind of a wonderful effort. And again, I just want to emphasize it's volunteers, and even the volunteers translating it into different languages have been a huge effort.
That's great. Well, let's segue from that, because you're talking about these digital things, right? CPGs, which are created with a massive effort, lots of different people. But what they're doing is they're distilling the best evidence for not only a body region, but for a condition, and giving that out freely, then translating it so it can go around the world and be accessed by colleagues who speak different languages all over the world. Everything seems to be digital, but we're talking about your annual meeting, the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapists annual meeting, which is going on April 3rd and 4th, Mall of America. Details at orthopt.org. Why should someone in such a digital world come to a meeting where they've got to travel somewhere and actually deal with other human beings in person?
Because that's what we do every day. It's a time to get your hands wet and dirty and meet face to face with the science leaders and the authors of the guideline and the workers. And let's say, okay, how do we make this happen? How do we make this come alive? How do we work on this with patients? And I think one of the critical elements of this meeting is that it's looking at interregional relationships, because the guidelines are regional because that's how the research is laid out. And that's how we have to verify and justify and help subclassify. But of course, most of our clients have more than one thing going on, or looking how one part of the body affects the pain or conditions or inflammatory processes of another. And so looking at the inter-region relationships is a big deal that's hard to pick up in a digital world. Right. And that's why you have the skills. I mean, that's why we continue to grow and learn as a profession and improve our skills.
Yeah, for me, selfishly, you know, I kicked this podcast off when I was still a PT student. I would read a book or an article or anything put out by a professional. And for me, I just wished I was able to ask them even simple, quick questions, because a lot can be lost in translation sometimes, especially if you miss just one little thing, the rest of it doesn't make sense. When you have an in-face interaction or in a real-time interaction, that's a big difference. And you're right. I think the first thing you said there was perfect. We do that every day.
Well, and it's really difficult as somebody writing something like guidelines, is to match the presentation to a wide audience with very different levels of background and clinicians, and not just physical therapists when we're talking about guidelines. So, and it's very difficult. And that's what you said, like, as someone who's learning, it says, well, I have a background here, but ooh, there's this one little detail I don't know about. Other people may, but I don't know about. And a simple question here and there could really help clear things up and just exponentially facilitate the knowledge. So yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. It's that light bulb moment. And gosh, it's still great to feel, right? When you get something or you can watch that on someone else's face in real time and you're trying to explain something and you can watch them get it. That's got to be such an energy boost at such a meeting like the meeting that you guys are having in April. It's got to be so great to watch so many people get it at the same time.
Well, we're going to do something. This is going to be a little, Paula Ludwig, who's my, co-partner in crime here, she's a little concerned because we're going to do a lot of things on the fly with real clinical patient and patients. She says, Joe, can you pull it off? She says, Paula, I do it every day. I think we can do it, but it's a little different. But you're right. And if you do it well, the light bulbs really go because then people can see how all of this can come alive. And so we will attempt to do that. I mean, that's it's all clinicians in the audience. And so they get it. And we'll try to make it very experiential. Let's put it that way. And I think that's a value kind of meeting because it's small group enough. You can have those interactions, those face-to-face, hands-to-body interactions, and people can really, as you say, feel it and watch and change and experience the stories and the change of how one decision can affect another and sequence it and go from there.
Love that. All right, well, let's do this. Let's go big to small. Let's go big. First, kind of maybe speak about the summary of what makes AOM, your annual meeting of the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapists, different than other educational events. What sets this apart?
I think it's focused, what the attempt is to be a little, offer a different niche than, at CSM, where you have meetings of 500 to 1,000 participants, where you don't have, lab or experiential time. And here, there will be essentially a summary in the morning, where there will be maybe 200 people. But then breakout sessions of 50, 60, where the participants can go and participate in lab kind of training sessions where they can actually have tables and practice. And that's, I think, a unique thing. And then have it also, of course, with the instructors and who are going there and, again, volunteering their time to share this information and have those kind of face-to-face interactions, which it's hard to have at a very large meeting.
Yeah, I think different mediums for different reasons. CSM is great for what it's great for, but if you're looking to specifically look at orthopedic issues in clinical practice, this is your meeting because of the things that you just mentioned of its strengths. And we do want to mention head, spine, and shoulder disorders is what we're focusing on. Integration over isolation. It's going to be the Mall of America, the biggest mall, April 3rd and 4th. And again, as Joe just mentioned, the website orthopt.org is where you can find out more information. So let's go now we'll go a little more narrow. Let's give people like the three biggest things. Let's go the three biggest things that people are going to walk away from this meeting. We'll start with quality of the presenters. I cheated a little bit, Joe. I was kind of looking at the syllabus a little bit. You've got some big guns coming to this.
Well, it's a nice blend or match between some people who have contributed very wonderfully to the literature that we, when you're looking at biomechanics and plausibility, and then with clinicians who are kind of in the trenches training residents and say, okay, here's how we try to make it happen. So I would have to say that's a nice value to this meeting is that interaction of those two groups.
Yeah, the presenters, the authors of the things that you're reading and you're seeing, as well as some of the authors of the things that we let off the show about, which is some of the recent clinical practice guidelines in orthopedic physical therapy.
Yeah, I can tell you, I'm just happy I'm not presenting the whole time so I can go to presentations because this is, it's a big deal. I mean, just for me, it's to like, okay, somebody gets, is in a soccer game and gets whacked on the head but also has a neck pain and now is having some dizziness and trouble focusing and it's like, okay, what do I do?
Yeah.
How do you attack that? How do you hit the most relevant, what's the most relevant thing to work on at that period in time? And then that's going to change over time and now you got to alter that and pick the next most relevant thing and do it in a nice sequence so you can most efficiently help your client.
Yeah.
Oh no, I can tell you the other meetings of this academy, the orthopedic, the annual orthopedic meeting have been very enlightening and very just really open, insightful. I mean, even for an old guy. You know, it's like, oh, I love hearing. You know, you love going to these things where people are, I think they have the opportunity to be a little bit insightful and a little bit on the edge.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a value of this meeting, just because you got the group that they select to kind of present. It's always this kind of leading edge stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So leading edge content, I would say, would be number two that jumps out at me. Talking about what you just said, really integrating science into practice. If we know something, and I'm using air quotes on a podcast, but the collective we want to be able to put that into practice. You gave a good example with a concussion, but now neck and shoulder issue. Well, as a physical therapist, you should look at the whole, but figure out how the parts affect the whole. So really, that leading edge content, the science, with a focus on interregional relations.
Yeah, I think that's an area we really need to own as physical therapists, because nobody else, no other profession does that, look at those interregional relationships when it comes to a client's ability to move. And we're good at that. And that's kind of a unique practice area. I was working with Tony DeLito, who's been a mentor of ours for many people in physical therapy in the 1990s, when we were defining the practice of orthopedic physical therapy. And he said something that stuck with me, and I still remember this to this day real clearly. He says, you know, there's two things we do as physical therapists that are unique when it comes to managing common musculoskeletal conditions. And one is making clinical decisions on movement-pain relationships, all of the Syriacs and Maitland and McKenzie and Norwegian and osteopathic approaches, that assessment and decision-making related to movements and tissue resistance and muscle power production and motor control and that relationship with pain. So that's a unique thing that we do as therapists. And another one, of course, is what we mentioned before, is this interregional relationships when it comes to somebody's ability to move. How do you make a decision about what's happening in the thorax related to the shoulder blade, related to the shoulder, related to the elbow? And you could do, of course, the same thing with the lower quarter and look at the relationship from the foot up to the back, to the thoracic spine, to the lumbar and the hip. So that's, I think, and we're going to try to pull that off. That's the whole goal of the that's the, you know, integration over isolation. You know, what a nice way to phrase it. And that's essentially it.
Yeah. Just hearing you kind of explain it like that, it is called head, spine, and shoulder disorders with integrated over isolation. But that integration over isolation is a good way to describe physical therapy as a profession, which you were doing well.
I think it's what makes it exciting and fun. I think that's our responsibility. I think we have to kind of keep in mind, if we don't do that well, the stakes are pretty high. I mean, disablement for common musculoskeletal conditions is extremely high, both at the client's individual level and at the societal level. And we see that. And, you know, all the we talk about chronic pain and opioid use, but, you know, you got to think of that as everyone who ends up being chronic pain. They probably were part of a team, and the physical therapist was part of a team that saw them when they had acute pain and something went wrong. And there was some, I would say, not optimal management for the person who's probably a difficult client and has, of course, psychological issues matched with their physical impairment issues. But boy, we've got to be good at that. And if we don't, we see the consequence of the disablement, and we see the suffering and the pain and the societal cost. So I think it's an excitement and it's a fun, but it's also a responsibility. So we have to kind of take that and say, okay, this is what we can do. This is our contribution to helping people move in the world.
Wow, man, I can't wait for the room to hear you know, kind of spouting this, and they're going to run out of that place in Minneapolis and ready to change the profession. I love that. Well said.
Well, if they don't throw tomatoes, we'll see. So, yeah.
I would say the last thing that really jumped out at me with AOM 2020 was the hands-on sessions, and you touched on that. Is, you know, CSM is great because of its size, but it can also have a weakness, which is the hands-on session. You guys at this meeting, the annual orthopedic meeting, able to have small group and opportunity to interact face-to-face with hands-on and have a conversation over a presentation. That's got to be one of the strengths as well.
Totally agree. And it is. And I can verify that happens. So we look forward to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on the other end, of course, and have been, you know, in the crowd and say, oh, this is great. So it's a good medium for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most of the time when you talk to people and you say, what would you like to see out of the meeting? That's definitely, you know, no one wants to be, and you know, our profession shouts this from the rooftop. No one wants to be sitting there being passive for a weekend. So it's great that this is not only a part of it, it's a big part of it in getting you moving and getting you doing the doing that you're hopefully going to bring back to your clinic or to wherever you practice or teach after you leave a meeting like this. So it's great that that's one of the pillars of AOM 2020.
Good. Agreed.
Yeah.
And you know, we're therapists. If we like sitting, we would be pathologists.
Exactly.
You know, or biologists or, you know, chemists. So, I'm stating the obvious, but, you know, that's typically how most therapists learn is they learn by doing. And this is a good opportunity for them.
The PT Pinecast will be right back.
New Step created the first product of its kind 25 years ago. That was the New Step Recumbent Cross Trainer. Now it's a mainstay in rehab with physical therapists worldwide. New Step now continues its tradition of innovation with the New Step Transit, another innovation in recumbent cross trainers for physical therapists, delivering real-time biofeedback with this piece of equipment, letting you use it in meaningful ways for awareness of physical performance, goals, identifying and correcting deficits or imbalances. Take a test drive or find out more at newstep.com. That's N-U-Step.com. Online at newstep.com.
Let's get back to the show.
Joe Godges on the line with us talking about annual orthopedic meeting 2020. Again, a reminder, April 3rd and 4th in Minneapolis, Mall of America. Head, spine, and shoulder disorders, integration over isolation, and details at orthopt.org. Let's get specific, Joe. Let's talk about what are people going to walk out of the room with your session? You're talking about you and Paula Ludwig giving a presentation there. What's that going to transform participants into?
I think it's our focus, and Paula's been another big supporter of guidelines and movement impairment assessment and treatment, is to how do you address a problem, classify it, decide what's the most relevant thing to work on at that particular time. When I say thing, I mean physical impairment, and then do it. And how do you address that? And then analyze, and then what's the next step? So I think it has to do with being really good and quick with your subgroup classification and matching the treatment and the data points that you use. And the data points are also, of course, what we spoke about, the hands-on component, and not just what people say, but it's combining what they tell you with what you find and gathering that in an efficient strategy. I would say, and we're going to push in a little bit of an algorithmic process because it's more efficient and quicker to get to the solution quicker, make a guess, do a treatment, see what happens, and then reassess and go from there. So it'll be a little dynamic in that session, in that sense. And I think that's what we're gonna do. I mean, because that's what we do every day.
Yeah.
So we want a model of how you pull that off, and then include, okay, how this fits with the science. I think that's a nice component, is how this fits with the guidelines, and this is our best practice.
Yeah, it just really adding to the active component of people getting to watch an actual thought process in real time is light years away from reading about a decision tree or a flow chart, watching that process in real time, hearing what you're thinking in your head and watching where you go and what direction you go next. That's got to be a real enlightening, eye-opening part of those types of demonstrations.
Yeah, and then get to try it on their own and try to hold it in, of course. And just to ingrain it, because you learn by doing, and then getting feedback as they're going.
Yeah. Invited are physical therapists, current clinicians, residents, fellows, PhD students, and PT students as well. We want to make sure we highlight that. I'm guessing PT students are going to get a really interesting experience if they're still in school and they're kind of raising themselves to come to a meeting like that. Is it exciting to see PT students going above and beyond to come to something like this as well?
You know, I think it's great for them, and it's great for the more experienced one. And I would say it in a way, it's very welcoming for both. And I would, you know, I tell you, if you're a student and you are at one of these meetings, you're separating yourself from the other 10,000 that are graduating. And you're talk about building a network. Holy cow. You know, I would say the relationships you build and their network and your small groups and your conversation, and you see, let me put it this way. This is going to sound a little silly, but the group that go to this meeting are generally happy and invested folks. And to be in a crew, you know, to as a physical therapy student, to say, oh, this person's 3 years out, this person's 5 years out, this person's 10 years out, this person's 20 years out, and they're still excited about the profession, I think we can just pat ourselves on the back that we can have that. And this is, so that's, I think that's a good thing a student can get. And I can tell you they're very embraced and welcomed because this is, of course, the legacy, the next generation. So it's a good experience for all.
That's great. Do want to make sure people know April 3rd and 4th, can't say it enough because it's coming up quick. Before you know it, you're going to be out there at Mall of America in Minneapolis for the annual orthopedic meeting 2020, really focusing on head, spine, and shoulder disorders. And I'm liking that tagline more and more, integration over isolation, orthopt.org for more information and to get yourself registered for this and to get hands-on. You started at an early age looking at people and movement. At 14, you were working as an expert in movement analysis.
I know, it's a little bit of a joke, but you know, we always talk about we have to be the expert in movements and we need to be good at looking at it. And I go, okay, well, how do you get good at looking at that? And I thought, oh, well, my first job was doing that as a baseball umpire for youth leagues and, you know, calling the balls and the strikes and the saves and the outs. And it's kind of funny when I go to a baseball game, you know, even a professional one, and, you know, there's a call that gives me, I like reflexively stand up and, you know, call them out or make the save sign. It's a little silly, but you just get, I think we part of what we need to do as therapists, just, you know, like anyone, is just get good at looking at movement, looking at the sequencing, looking at making the calls. And so, yeah, that's a little silly. I kind of say that as a joke, but it's a little silly as how do you get good at it? Is you do it and you got to make some judgment, you know, are you safe? Are you out? Is it a ball or is it a foul ball? Is it a fair, you know, and were they running in line and did they slide correctly? And, you know, all this other little details that, you know, For baseball, which of course it would be for any sport. I mean, mm-hmm. I can imagine, look at gymnastics or diving and look at how those people can see things and make scores that you only us who are, you know, you sweat down and then you put it in slow motion and you go, oh, well, that's why they got a bad score or this and that. Or that was found. You see how good these people are. And I think I compliment physical therapists that we can be, and we are, many are, can be really good at that, looking at gait and throwing and stepping and squatting and getting out of bed and moving from a chair to a car or a chair, you know, from a toilet to standing, you know, all these kind of things people have to do in their lives. And, you know, in the orthopedic world, of course, lifting the box and sitting and working at the computer and reaching and grabbing and carrying objects and the things people have to do for their jobs or their recreational activities, it's all involved.
Yeah.
How do you most efficiently, and then how do you help people move better? So that's, again, another fun part of our profession.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you saying that being an expert movement analysis, a 14-year-old umpire, youth baseball, I know it appears at first glance it's kind of a goof, but, you know, I was a baseball player in high school, B-minus player, and I got a phone call one day from my coach, and he said, listen, I'm umping a game. The other ump canceled. We're going to have to cancel the game unless you come down to the field. And I said, okay. And I had played baseball my whole life, and I was probably 17 at the time. But I had never actually been an umpire, been trained. And I'll tell you, the whole time I'm out there standing at near second base, I'm watching the game, but I'm not really paying attention as an umpire. It's a skill because I was always a player. Where's the ball? But the umpire needs a particular set of skills. They're watching different parts of the game. And there were several times there was a play right in front of me and I'm sitting there watching. It's my call to make and I'm waiting to hear the umpire say out or safe. And then all of a sudden I realize, oh no, that's me, because I wasn't used to it. So it is a skill that you should practice. And I think it, umpire or official or coach, that's a great way to begin or to hone that skill because it's a different skill set.
Oh, I'm with you. I the whole coaching thing. I think what we are as coaches, you kind of hit it on the head. What we really are coaches. We're coaches of movement, but we're also coaches of beliefs and emotions and motivation.
Yeah.
And matching those motivations to what people want to do. So the analogy is there, and I almost, you enjoy people who've had that experience. And it also can be not just athletics. I mean, well, I shouldn't say not just athletics, but it can be things like performing arts and dance and theater and other activities that involve movement and expression and analyzation of that and choreography and things. So there's all those skill sets, which are kind of an important detail.
Agreed. Joe, are you ready for three questions? We play this game with all of our guests.
Oh, brother.
Here we go.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
I like how you're like preparing yourself for like the three hardest questions ever. I promise it's fine. Three questions brought to you by our friends from Arias Medical Staffing. Quite simply, they find physical therapists jobs, letting them take their physical therapy license as a license to move about the country as a PT. All 50 states and DC, they've got all different settings too, inpatient, outpatient, ortho, sports, pediatrics, geriatrics. Find what you want to do, where you want to do it with the leaders in travel PT, AURUSmedical.com. That is AURUSmedical.com. First on three questions, Joe, is a where question. If you could go anywhere in the 50 U.S. states to spend some time as a PT, where would you want to go?
Oh, you know, I live in sunny Southern California, but I do enjoy the mountains and I do enjoy skiing and the hiking and the biking. So I'm a fond of Park City, Utah, because it's a nice blend of the mountains, but you're pretty close to other things. Yeah. You know, it's very convenient and wonderful and beautiful. So I'd say there.
Yeah, gorgeous part of the country. And you know what? They need PTs there too. Isn't that great? So you can find them, see if there's a spot for you there. AURUSmedical.com. Number two on three questions. This helps me build my reading list or my Netflix queue or my download list. What's something that you watched, listened, or read that really inspired you?
You know, I won't say of course, but I'm a dad of almost college graduates. And as they're getting wings and they're moving out, they're trying to be efficient in life. Mm-hmm. And they always ask me, well, how did this happen? How did that happen? I said, well, it's kind of habit. It's good if you develop the right habits. And there's this book, of course, that most people know about, or you from Stephen Covey, of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. In a sense, very simple, but when you mess it up, you see that the problems of, you know, not understanding before you talk and not having win-win negotiations or win-win interactions and codependence versus interdependence versus, you know, sharpening your saw and keeping the end in mind. I mean, little silly stories, which are so common in business and so common in, I guess, even belief systems but it's a nice way of, I think, wording things that just helps people function better, and people who have those habits tend to be happier and more content and more contributing to society. And not that they're unique, but it's just a nice way, just a nice expression of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great classic book that comes up often with this question. And I love it because really what it does is it reinforces the basics. And that's what we try to do as physical therapists, which is reinforce the basics. And I like the fact that it's habits, which we try to reinforce or try to modify maybe a little bit at the best of our ability. So 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, great book. Number three on three questions is a who question. Who's someone the audience should know more about?
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess I'm always a little bit of people who are kind of pushing the envelope a little bit and shaking things up and ability to be innovate. And I love that motto, the new tagline of the orthopedic section about, you know, leaders and innovators and change makers, and two people that have really done that. And one, they're very different, but one is Gerard Brennan, who's kind of a behind the scenes guy from Salt Lake City, Utah. And, has been involved with the board and just a behind the scenes guy that has pushed the envelope and has been willing to have our profession be on the edge and take the next step. And a cohort of that from University of Delaware, Tara Jo Manow. You got to love Tara Jo because she's just so eloquent with this describing it. And just, you know, I just love listening to how she so eloquently says everything I wanted to say, but she says it so much better. Yeah. She's so much fun. If you ever, you know, so you just have to hand it to those two of a shout out for them.
Sounds good. All right, you're off the hot seat. That's three questions from our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. Again, you're free to move about the country as a PT. Might as well do it and have some fun and get paid for it. Yeah, it's your job, but you're not locked in. You can do it anywhere you want. All 50 states, all settings, AURUSmedical.com. Last thing we do on the show, Joe, is our parting shot.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. Rocktape is more than just a tape company. They're a movement company, bringing you not only the world's finest kinesiology tape, but movement courses to help you get your patients moving stronger, longer. Make sure to check out your medical provider pricing right now at rocktape.com/medical. That's rocktape.com/medical to get your hands on Rocktape, Rock Blades, Rock Pods, and Rock Floss. Again, rocktape.com/medical. That is rocktape.com/medical. Parting shot's really your chance, like maybe a soapbox idea or a mic drop moment. Is there anything that's kind of your thing that you always reinforce, whether it be talking to other clinicians or students that you worked with in the past? What's your parting shot?
You know, I think you kind of mentioned it. It's a little bit of do the fundamentals well. I'm from Los Angeles, so we grew up with John Wooden. And it was all about do the fundamentals. Everyone knows what you're going to do. Just do it well. And I think as a mentor to residents, when they're having trouble, I'd say 95% of the time, it's not like they're not knowing some very precise knowledge that an expert would know. They're just missing and not doing a fundamental that they kick themselves in the butt because they know they should do well.
Yeah. You bring up Coach Wood, and it's failure to plan is planning to fail, right? That's the one that sticks and just says basics, basics, basics.
Yeah. Basic fundamental. And I had the opportunity to even go watch a couple of his practices because they were so funny. He didn't have anything secret. He says, look, I'm and it was 90-minute practices of like, okay, let's, and you watch them do fundamentals. And it's like, oh my God. And then you go to their games and you see that, and you see they're doing fundamentals, of course, that other teams aren't, and that's why, they won 88 games in a row. And, and attract other people. So I would say just as physical therapists, just get good at those. And that is not easy. I also want to say that's a lifelong thing. Yeah. That is, be proud that you're doing that. And to be able to do that, boy, every 30 minutes, every 45 minutes, every hour with a new human and interact and connect. And go. So that's, in one sense, again, fun, but challenging, but I would say just keep at it and just enjoy the process.
Love it. Joe, I appreciate your time. Looking forward to seeing people out there at the AOM. Again, AOM 2020, April 3rd and 4th, Mall of America in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Head, spine, and shoulder disorders, integration over isolation. OrthoPT.org is where people can find it. Joe, loved everything you said. Loved hearing about it. Appreciate you sharing the insight with us today.
My pleasure.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Want to thank Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, offering residencies, fellowship education, orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neurologic PT, pediatric sports. That's an overview of their residencies. Check out what they have to offer at brooksihl.org. World-class educational opportunities to the local and regional community. Check them out, brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.